Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton. Hello and welcome back. This is the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with David and Colton.
Thomas,
not here today.
I
don't know what exactly happened, but I got a text from Colton today that said I took care of Thomas, and so I don't know. We'll see, I guess, if Thomas ever comes back. I don't know. I've tried not to ask too many questions, but Colton, I'm glad you're here.
Yep, don't forget it. Been going off to the woods a little bit, you know. Me and Thomas found this really cool spot, and he just decided he wanted to stay there. So,
Good. That's what I expected to have happened the entire time. All right, well, we have been gone for 2 weeks. And a lot of things have happened. Colton, the number one first thing that's broken news that's already way old news because it happened a week ago. J.J. Watt to the Cardinals. What did you think of that one, Colton?
It was kind of crazy. I was hearing, you know, I was hearing Bills. I was hearing Packers. And I was just, I thought that would have been cool if he went to the Bills. You know, I definitely would have hated it if he went to the Packers. And then next thing you know, everyone's checking out his Peloton or what they thought was his Peloton, and they were convinced he was going to the Eagles or something like that because of where this Peloton account was riding around. And then next thing you know, later that day, J.J. Watt text or sent out a tweet said he doesn't have a Peloton and he's going to the Cardinals. So it was kind of crazy. He believes in Kyler Murray. That's why he said he wanted to go there. I don't blame him.
He also believes in, what is it, $30 million over the next few years?
Yeah. I think it's like 24 or something like that.
26. Oh, I thought it was 26. But
26, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'd believe in that too. I mean, I'd move somewhere if someone paid me that much money.
I mean, I would consider it.
Yeah, you know, to have to work it in, but definitely – definitely helps. I think it's a good move. He's definitely got a lot left in the tank. You know, he hasn't been the killer pass rush annihilator guy that he was when he was winning Defensive Player of the Year, but he's still super strong against the run, still very high motor, determined player, and he would have helped out whatever defense he went to. So Cardinals definitely getting better.
Yeah, we were definitely bamboozled. One of my favorite things, and I think I'm remembering this right. I don't think anything's changed since last time we talked. Neither of us have Twitter.
Nope.
So I don't like, and we're not necessarily in this game, but we do follow things on Bleacher Report and follow some football things. There's nothing more fun nowadays than the people that follow the athlete's social media. All of a sudden, yeah. This guy has unfollowed this and he has followed this guy. He liked this tweet and he's, you know, because. I mean, we don't have Twitter, but I know that we both have had spurts on Instagram. I think you're off of it for the moment, but I'm on it still. Like, there's not a lot of thought that goes into a lot of my likes, but according to other people, when it's athletes, all of a sudden it's completely thought out.
Oh, it's a huge deal. Huge deal.
Like, oh my gosh, this guy's not just a friend. This is the thing. This is the place that I want to go live. And so I genuinely enjoy that. I also listened to another podcast, the Fantasy Footballers podcast, and they're all three from Arizona and Phoenix. They're all Cardinals fans. And there's nothing more enjoyable right now than watching Cardinals fans celebrate why Texans fans hate them. There's like the two wide groups. Half the Texans fans have now become Cardinals fans because of the Hopkins and Watt trade. And then the rest of them just hate Cardinals fans because they've stolen all their joy.
Yeah.
So that's been enjoyable. But it kind of super surprising. I didn't see it coming at all, but I think it's a great fit for him. I'm glad he's gotten this last paycheck. Hopefully not his last paycheck. I don't mean to curse him, but his third or fourth to last paycheck. Really good paycheck. I'm happy for him. I like J.J. Watt. And so It'll be interesting.
Is Vance Joseph the defensive coordinator over there?
I believe he is. I believe.
Or was that
my researcher is really great at researching, and he is looking it up. This is great. This dead air is what most podcasts love.
Oh, it is Vance Joseph.
Oh,
it
perfect. That's what my researcher was just about to find out, but he's a little slow. I'll get rid of him. Don't worry.
I believe Vance Joseph was J.J. Watt's defensive coordinator with the Texans before he went to the Broncos. So, anyways, that might have something to do with it there.
Oh. There we go. There, you know, for a split second, we thought the podcast was going down. We had a little bit of dead space, but then Colton and his researcher come in with the research that makes this podcast great. We are a pro research show. And so we are here.
Pro facts.
Pro facts. All yep. right. Well,
Justin Jefferson should have won Rookie of the Year.
Jefferson, we moved on from that 2 months ago. So I'm sorry you weren't here, but you've actually had half a podcast before you were raptured and left us all here to fend off everything on our own. You had your chance to talk about Justin Jefferson. We will not bring his name. He is Voldemort, basically. We will not name. He should not be named JJ. All right, so moving on to some more current news. Dak, the Mack truck, Prescott, got capital paid. Well, that's not how you spell paid, actually. Capital P-A-I-D. Paid. What do you think? 4 years, $160 million with incentives could go up to $164 million.
$66 million signing bonus.
Yeah. No, dude, I think it was more than that. It was 70, wasn't it? Oh no, $66 million signing bonus. He's gonna make like 70 something million this year.
Yeah, 75 total. Million year one.
Yeah. Most money year one ever.
No trade clause. No franchise tag clause. Was he worth it?
There's two answers to this. There's the real answer of like trying to build a team, and then there's the market. Is he worth it? No. How many quarterbacks have been paid that you would say have been worth it, completely worth it in the last 5 years? You got, in my opinion, Patrick Mahomes, because really no matter what's worth it, but some would argue with that. Deshaun Watson got $40 million. I would, as great as Deshaun Watson is, I don't think many people think he's $5 million more, $5 million past Russell Wilson and $7 million past Aaron Rodgers. So maybe Russell Wilson, maybe Aaron Rodgers. That's maybe it. And so I don't think he's personally worth it. I think that the Cowboys have blatantly messed up this entire situation. But the truth is, this is the market for quarterbacks. And they waited way too long to pay him.
You kind of stole the thunder out from underneath me.
Good.
I was just,
that's what I like to do.
It was a rhetorical question that I was saying.
You know, if you give me an opportunity to talk, I'll take it. So that's half on you, mostly, is what we know.
Yeah, definitely. So, Dak, you know, there's only two quarterbacks. Well, technically three. Well, no, two. Two quarterbacks that have been franchise tagged twice that were like actual, you know, decent, great quarterbacks. I am very familiar with the other one. And I don't know what it is, but I guess there's something about a quarterback hitting free agency, you know, in his prime when it's, you know, a quarterback is always going to be needed. You know, if there's so many teams that are like, oh, if we just had a quarterback, if we just had Russell Wilson, if we just had, you know, one of these guys, if we just had Kirk Cousins, you know, something like that, then we would be fine and we could resolve all the problems. And so whenever there's a quarterback that's that, you know, in his prime, that's that close to free agency, just the amount of money is ridiculous. And I definitely agree with you. You know, probably not worth it, but definitely got his market value. You know, I mean, if Dak Prescott, who was injured and sat out a year, can get $40 million a year, you know, just think about all these other quarterbacks that are coming up on these next deals. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you know, those guys, they got to be – Baker Mayfield, they got to be licking at the chops being like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to make so much money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely crazy. And the craziest part, and you and I talked a little bit about this off air earlier, but like the craziest part about it to me is like, I mean, Cowboy fans, you got to be sad. And I'm happy. I'm happy about it. You got to be so sad because I heard from Cowboys fans all year last year about how there's no way he's making $35 million a year. And here he is. He wanted a 4-year deal. Well, oh, he's got a 4-year deal. He wanted $40 million a year. Oh, he's got $40 million a year. He wanted a lot of guaranteed money, 3 years guaranteed. He wanted a no-trade clause now. No trade clause. He's not going to be franchise tagged again. He wanted a lot of money year one. What's he do? Get the most money year one ever. And he's doing that coming off an injury and in one of the most crazy quarterback markets I've ever seen. Like, I don't think we've ever had this many good quarterbacks. And the crazy part about it is I think we said this 2 years ago. I'm pretty sure you and I had a conversation about this 2 years ago. And then it's gotten better. We just every year get so many young guys. We've had in the last 2 years, just three years, an influx of quarterback, young quarterback talent. And here we are next year. Here we are in this year. We're probably going to have another 4 first round picks. It's just insane. We have guys like Cam Newton, potentially guys like even like Drew Locke and guys like that are going to be backups in this league. And we have Dak Prescott still getting this money. It's insane. The market does call for it, but it just shows you how crazy this quarterback market is.
It is really crazy. And I think that we might be close to seeing a change. You know, the quarterbacks, they've been going and they've been, even if they haven't been worth it, they've been getting above and beyond, you know, what they've been worth for so long. And I think we're about to see it change. We just saw Jared Goff, you know, mega deal Jared Goff and mega deal Carson Wentz get traded within just, you know, a year or two of signing their huge deals. Then obviously coronavirus came and there was a downtick in the market, you know, the salary cap dropped. It's basically dropped like $15 million this year. We don't know the final numbers yet, but you know, it's not going to be going up and up like it was. And I think we're finally going to see kind of a stop to the craziness of outpaying the last quarterback. You know, I think Patrick Mahomes for the longest time is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So we'll see though. We'll see what happens.
I hope so, dude. Because this is not good for the NFL. Like, I'm not saying I don't want these guys to make their money. Like, I know saying that nowadays, for some reason, you know, the average man that does not make millions of dollars a year feels so connected to these guys that it's an outrage to potentially hint at the fact that I might not want these, you know, guys to make $40 million a year. But, like, it's not good for football, I don't think. Because, like, I mean, and I hope I'm wrong in these situations, but, like, and I don't think anybody can realistically consistently win at that price unless you have a quarterback that can do it by himself. Because you have Russell Wilson, you have Aaron Rodgers, who just almost instantly became discount guys. Instantly almost after the next quarterback got their contract and they passed those type of guys. Instantly Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson were signed at discounts almost. And so those type of guys can do that, but like, and Deshaun Watson's good, and he might get there. But Deshaun Watson, is he proven that he can win on his own? I think last year he proved he cannot win on his own. He had his best year of his career and didn't do it. And, like, you don't have to do it every year. I get Aaron Rodgers has missed the playoff. I get Russell Wilson's missed the playoff. But, like, I just don't – unless your quarterback can do it on his own, I just don't think you can justify giving them that percentage of the cap.
Yeah, no, it's definitely crazy. But if you're one of the 32 people in the NFL that has the pleasure of being a starting quarterback, for at least for the foreseeable future, you better just realize how lucky you are, because you're going to be making bank no matter what. You don't even have to be the best one, or even you just have to be above average, you know, above replacement level, above backup level, and you're going to be making the most money out of anybody in the whole league.
Yeah. Well, even to the point we've seen guys like Nick Foles and Case Keenum get crazy deals. But I remember hearing on NFL Network a few years ago, Derek Carr got paid, and you know, he's exactly what you're explaining, an average quarterback at best, slightly above average maybe. You know, in his good year, slightly above, in his bad year, slightly below maybe. And he became – I don't remember if he ever was the highest-paid quarterback, but he was one of the highest-paid quarterbacks at that time. And David Carr talked about how it was interesting because he didn't even really do any work on that deal. Like, it was just like his agent. He was just the next guy to get paid, and he was next in line. And they just have a little system going between these quarterbacks where the next guy's getting paid, and the next guy's getting paid, and it's the next guy in line, and they just continue to push the needle. And I don't know. I think it's got to eventually pop. I think it's eventually got to go back down. I thought it was going to be Mahomes, to be honest. And I think Mahomes is going to be that guy. But Mahomes made a deal in himself that moved the market so much. And so it's almost like even if he is the guy, he almost did so much on his own still that it's still like, well, I mean, this $40 million, it's still not close to what Mahomes got. But it still pushes it so much further. But yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy thing.
One thing all for right, sure, cool. though, I'm definitely sorry, happy with the Cowboys shelling out that much money and having to let all these other people walk in free agency just to
definitely.
Keep it's been good.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing that's going to make me happy. I say that as the Packers are paying Aaron Rodgers and are about to have to let Aaron Jones and Corey Lindsey walk. But yeah, we're not going to talk about that. All right, so here we are. We are what, about a month away? About a month and a half away from the draft.
Yep.
And we have not done any draft. What's that?
And like a week from free agency.
Colton, are you ready for the first time on this podcast this year to maybe dip your toes into the draft world?
Oh. I love the draft, dude. I'm always year-round following the draft. As a Vikings fan, I think I have more hope in draft season than I do any other time of the year. So, I mean, I live for it. I love the draft.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. I think we're going to turn this into a little bit of a mini segment that we're going to do a couple different positions over the next month and a half, and hopefully get to all the positions. But we're going to do just a mini big board. Each of us are just going to talk about this. Our top five offensive linemen and our top five defensive linemen, right?
Okay.
So we're going to do a top five offensive linemen, top five defensive linemen, just a mini big board for you guys. And, I mean, you can turn in the volume up a little bit while I'm talking, turn it down when Colton's talking, go get a sandwich, do what you need to do. But I'm just kidding. You know, we don't like to – we've talked before. We don't like to plan before the podcast. We like to plan during the podcast. So I'm not exactly sure how we were planning on doing this, but do you just want to go, like, one on – like, you say you're one – or I guess we can go from five to one on offensive linemen. You say five, I'll say my five. And just kind of maybe if there's a comment or two in between and just do it that way.
Sure. Let's start with the offensive linemen.
All right, because that's the excitement, in my opinion. I think you feel the same. I know that you guys are looking for a pass rusher, so maybe your Vikings fandom has heard this, but I think this offensive line class is very talented, and we'll talk about the defensive linemen in a minute. But my fifth offensive lineman, offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins. He's played some right tackle, left tackle, and right tackle. He's played right guard, right tackle, and left tackle, I believe. He's just kind of, in my opinion, I think he's just a solid guy. Like, he's one of those guys. He's not a huge potential guy. guy at all, but he's really solid. He's played multiple positions. He's really smart. I don't know that he's quite athletic enough to play left tackle in the NFL. We'll see. I don't know that I'm there with that, but I think he could be a really solid right tackle in the NFL. And yeah, he's my number 5th offensive lineman.
Gotcha. And that's one of the things that I love about
toe. This is random, but I just broke my toe on the podcast, so that's good. All right, I'll fight through the toe pain. Go ahead, Colton.
What'd you do? Okay.
I broke my pinky. I hit it up against my toolbox. What do you want to hear? There used to be a
I
left
didn't
pinky.
Hear
I no longer I have a left pinky. Instead, I have a left nub that's hanging on sideways.
Peanut toe?
Yes.
Have you ever seen The Croods too? Anyways, never mind.
No, I haven't, but I'll go along with the joke.
Okay. So, that's one of the things that I'm really excited about this year. There is so much depth, I feel like, in the offensive line. It's not like years past where it's like there's a few guys. It's like there's probably like 8, 9, 10 guys that could be first-round talents in any given year. It's such a deep, offensive line class, and I didn't even have him in my top 5 at all. Number 5 for me, is he going to play guard? Is he going to play tackle? We won't know until he gets drafted, but one thing's for sure, he is big man, and he is pretty dominant, and that's Elijah Vera Tucker, USC. You have him on your list at all?
Yes, he is 4th for me.
Oh, there we go. Then we can just kind of talk about him together. Definitely number 5, pretty dominant in his time in the Pac-12. Like I said previously, a lot of speculation on whether he's going to play guard or tackle. Once he makes it to the NFL, most likely he's going to be moved inside to guard. But who knows? He can play either. He might even be like a swing tackle type of a guy. But definitely talented enough. Excited to see what this guy has at the next level.
Yeah, and this is – he's kind of – I guess you can kind of tell by both of my offensive linemen pick where a little bit of where my bias comes in for offensive linemen. I love – to me, with offensive linemen, they have to be playing multiple positions, because if they don't work out at tackle, I want to see if they can work out with guard, because we've seen so many of those guys suck at tackle, move to right tackle and be good, or move to guard and be good, or move to left guard and be good. And so I want to see that. And then at the least, it raises their floor exponentially, because they may not be a starting tackle, but they might be a swing tackle. That might be where their versatility comes in as a back, you know, even if they do bust a little bit, you know, they can be a swing type of guy. And yeah, I love Elijah Vera Tucker. Great athlete, a little bit, not the longest guy in the world. Maybe we have, I don't know that we have any arm measurements. I haven't seen it, but I know that that's a concern with him, that he's not quite long enough to play tackle, but I don't think it has anything to do with his athleticism. I think he will be a dominant guard if he does move inside, but I like him a lot. He was so close to 3 for me, so close. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's good. I guess I'm not quite as sold on him as you, obviously, because he's my number 5, not my number 4. But I'm definitely excited, and I would be very happy if my team ended up with him. So hopefully they end up with a guy that's a lot higher on this list. But all right. So we already got your number 4. I'm just going to go ahead and give my number 4. And I know this might be a little controversial, but Samuel Cosmi, Texas. This dude, there's no question whether he's going to play tackle or guard in the NFL. He's a freaking mauler. He's a big boy. He's a tackle. 6'7", 309. So the height is what really stands out to me. He's definitely got that prototype, typical lineman height. He's big, long, athletic. He's a mauler. I'm not going to be surprised to watch him just absolutely shoot it, tear it up in the draft and everywhere else. There's a lot of consensus amongst him is he's probably going to be, you know, like either a late first or mid-second type of guy, Samuel Cosmi. And I just think it's crazy, because any other year, I think it'd be guaranteed that he's going in the first round. but watch some stuff on him, and I'm super excited.
Yeah, you've already talked a little bit about the depth of the class, but yeah, I love Cosme too. I fought with him and Jenkins of who was going to be five. Honestly, the main reason I went with Jenkins is just a little bit of that versatility. Like what I already talked about, where I like that a little more. Cosme may be a little bit too tall and too long for his own good if he ever ended up having to play guard. I know that's a little bit of size prototyping. We have seen a lot of some of those big boys go in and play some guard, but and so that's what genuinely was the tiebreaker for me is that I love Cosme. But yeah, so my third guy is a little bit, I don't know. This is a little bit of the guy I'm not all that confident in. I need to continue to watch him. I need to continue to watch him more, but what I've seen, I've liked the potential, and that's Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, offensive tackle.
All right.
True left tackle. I think
my number three as well.
I think he's a great pass blocker. You know, amazing pass blocker, left tackle. You can't go wrong with that. You know, maybe a little bit. The concerns about him is he's a little bit weak, maybe at the point of attack at times. Maybe could get bullied by some of the guys in run blocking. Maybe can get bullied at times, I think. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with a pure pass blocking left tackle. You just can't. And he's talented, and he'll make his name for that for sure.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys in this class that it's like, you know, he's definitely not the top name that most people are familiar with, you know, but I'm thinking Christian Darrisaw when it comes times for extensions, you know, like, you know, 5 years down the road, these guys are getting their first contract extensions. I think he's going to be one of the guys that makes the most, you know, that definitely is one of the highest paid offensive linemen at that time, just because of what you said. He's very good at pass blocking, you know. He's not, you know, he's a little bit smaller than some of these other guys, 6'5", but he's 314 pounds. He's got a huge, good anchor in him. He's definitely going to be a household name by the time he makes it to his second contract. Excited for him.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, it'll be interesting. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, Colton, but if you have Darrisaw at third, I'm pretty confident we probably have the same top three here.
Okay.
So we'll see if it plays out that way. Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, Northwestern. Both of my top two guys are both guys that opted out of the 2020 season. And so there's a little bit of wonder with Slater here, but I mean, just a functional machine. Just what you look for. You look at him, and he's just a picture of technique. He's exactly what you look for. He doesn't hold anything back athletically. He can definitely move as an athlete, but just his technique is just amazing. He's a really good pass blocker, really good run blocker. I know the biggest concern with him also is just his size and length, but. Maybe he can't play left tackle, but I definitely think he can play tackle in the NFL in the right scheme, and he can definitely play in a lot of schemes. So I don't know. And he's another guy I like. He can play tackle. He can play guard, and I know that a lot of people even like him at center. And so I don't know where that comes from. I don't think he's ever played center, but I know a lot of people think his best position would be center, just because I don't know where it comes from, but. Those are the type of guys I like on my team. Those guys that can do anything.
All right, Rashawn Slater. He is my number two as well, but it's like a 1A and a 1B type thing. You know, obviously neither of these guys that we're going to talk about in the top two played this last year at all. So, you know, there might be some regression there, but Rashawn Slater at 6'4", there's definitely the questions people have on him. If he's undersized, can he do it? Well, let me tell you. There was a certain defensive rookie of the year last year. What was his name again, Davey?
I don't know.
Okay.
This is not a joke. I genuinely do not know who the defensive rookie of the year was.
Okay.
I for some reason cannot remember, but go ahead.
Let me give you a hint. Defensive end, Ohio State, plays for Washington.
Oh, Nick Bosa. I'm just kidding. Chase Young. Yeah. I okay. Yes. Okay. Chase Young. Go ahead.
Okay. Chase Young. That was that a man
minor
was
mistake by me.
A beast in college. I mean, there was one tackle in all of his college football career that looked, you know, semi-competent trying to guard him and trying to throw him off his rocker. Okay. No one else was able to do it. There was one guy who was able to go one-on-one blocking him and actually looks competent, and that was Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. All these questions about, is he a guard? Is he a center? Is he a tackle? This guy can hold his own. He's got the technique. He's got the tenacity. He's a freaking bowling ball. I love watching him set the edge in the run, you know, making those combination blocks up to the linebackers. He's got the technique down. There's no question about that. He may not be the biggest guy, but, you know, we've heard other guys come into the NFL with size questions before. Can they play their position? You know, we've got Aaron Donald, who is an undersized defensive tackle. I'm pretty sure everyone recognizes Aaron Donald's name now. You know?
David Bakhtiari.
Exactly. Rashawn Slater is going to play tackle at the next level, and he's going to be positively amazing at it. I'm super excited for this guy, and he's one of the highest guys competitive wise and just fit wise, scheme wise that I want for the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm super excited for him to see what he's going to do in the NFL. Pro Rashawn Slater. Let's go. Woo!
Yep. I agree for sure. Yeah. I agree with the 1A, 1B thing. Cause they're both amazing. And what I like about both of them is they're both guys that sat out that have a really good athletic profile where you could have easily make a case that they were going to improve even more. Like, I know that's a little bit of, you can't bump them up the draft boards based on that, but that just, you know, they just that hope. I like that hope with both of them. There's some of these guys that sat out last year that, you know, weren't, you know, I can't really make a case for them improving all that much. And so I'm glad that we came with both of them. And then, so number one, Penei Sewell, Oregon left tackle. You know, not different than, I don't want to make this sound bad because this is definitely oversimplifying the two. But where Rashawn Slater is that huge fundamental technique guy, Penei Sewell is more of the athlete strength combination. You know, like I said with Rashawn Slater, great athlete as well. And Penei Sewell definitely has fundamentals. That's why he's at the top of our offensive line list. That doesn't happen without it. But definitely maybe more upside, I would say, with the strength and length and athleticism with him. Amazing pass blocker, really good run blocker. There's some people look at his height and say that he isn't going to be able to play tackle. I don't know. I don't know where these dreams come from. I don't really care. I think they're both going to be really good tackles in the NFL. And if they're not in today's game, you already mentioned Donald. Like, you can't just have a left tackle at in the NFL anymore. You need a full offensive line. You need these guards, and they get paid well because of it, and you need these right tackles. And so even if they don't stay at left tackle and they move over to the other side or move inside to guard, these guys are going to make their presence known.
I don't know who's saying that Penei Sewell is undersized. I mean, 6'6", 330. I think he's got your prototypical size.
I think he measured in at 6'5". Which is what I think people are talking about. I don't know where that comes from. I know that on the thing I'm looking at right now it says 6'5", and I know that I've heard some people talking about his size. I don't understand it either. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. He reminds me in a lot of ways of Mekhi Becton last year out of Louisville. That guy was just, you know, a beast, and he wasn't. Okay, there's not a ton of similarities, but this is what it reminds me of. People were talking about just how big he was and how much of a monster he was, and Mekhi Becton didn't have, you know, the best technique or whatever, but they were just so confident that he was going to turn the corner at the next level just because of how big and how monstrative he was. And Penei Sewell is the exact same thing, except for he's got the technique. He's one of the top guys, not just offensive linemen, but definitely one of the top five prospects in this whole class. He's a beast. He's a mountain. He can move people. He's definitely got that anchor and pass protection and everything. I'm very excited to see him play at the next level. You know, we're seeing kind of the rebirth of the offensive tackle. There hasn't been a ton of good ones, you know, in the past drafts. In this draft, there's a lot of good ones, and we're gonna get some competent, a lot more competent tackle competition in the NFL. And Penei Sewell is definitely the number one guy in this class.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's super exciting. Between last year's class and this year's class, there's definitely a restock of offensive linemen going to be here in the NFL.
I mean, some of the guys that we didn't mention, you know, you mentioned Tevin Jenkins that I didn't mention. I mentioned Samuel Cosmi, but just some other guys. Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama. You got Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. There's Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan. I mean, there's so many guys that I would be just ecstatic, you know, if my team drafted them and I was lucky enough to have them on my team. And there's – I mean, if they don't get one out of this year's draft, I don't know what we're going to do because there's just so many this year, you know. I mean, there's so many guys that we haven't mentioned that I just want to give a quick shout out. But yeah, definitely excited for the tackle class in this year's draft.
Yep, me too. All right, would you like to go first on the defensive lineman so that you can have the big number one reveal?
So that I can have the big number one reveal?
Yeah, I have a feeling that where I liked to reveal my Oregon Penei Sewell, I think you might want to reveal your number one.
Okay. So real quick, just have a question. Is this like defensive line only, or is this like edge as well?
I did both. And so, you know, this is, again, you know, talked about how we're a pro planning podcast. We just like to plan during it instead of before. We didn't really talk specifics. I did both though, because I didn't know. I don't want to give anything away, but in my opinion, this interior defensive lineman class sucks. And so I have one of my five as an interior defensive lineman, and okay, the rest is edge.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Number five is a guy in this class who has a lot of potential. Sat out this last year. I see him high on a lot of people's lists, but I'm not 100% sold on him yet. I know he's really good, obviously, and so that's why he's in my top five, and he's got a lot of talent, but he's not – I don't have him as high as most people, just to say that, and that will be Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, sophomore. 6'7", 265, insanely fast, definitely an athlete for sure, just very raw, you know. We don't know what his talent level is at right now, what his skill level is. We know he's more athletic than everyone that he faced in college, and that's fine, but that's not going to get you through to the NFL. I think if he goes to the right situation, the right coach, you can definitely get that technique down and get in. Super excited to see who gets him and where he goes. But, you know, number five, Gregory Rousseau.
Yeah, he's not my number five, but he's my number four, so I'll skip to him for a second. But, yeah, I – ranking just a little bit different, but yeah, I agree with a lot of your points. I think he's a little bit overrated. People just look at the sacks. But like, I'm just not a big fan of this. You have to give him respect because he has the athletic traits where if he ever put everything together, we both acknowledge he could be one of the best, like one of those best guys in the league. He's that type of athlete, but it's a lot to put together. He doesn't, and in my opinion, like, you look at some of these guys like Brian Burns from previous classes. I was a huge fan of Brian Burns. I had Brian Burns in my top 10. I loved him because he was just a superstar athlete, but then he could bend around the corner like nobody I had ever seen before in college. Like, he just gets on that angle, and it's insane. I don't think Gregory Rousseau can bend like that. Like, he's fast and he's quick. But I see a little bit more Montez Sweat, but then he's not good at stopping the run, where Montez Sweat was a beast at stopping the run. Like, Montez Sweat couldn't bend like Brian Burns can. He was a lot faster but he was faster than Brian Burns and a little bit more athletic and bigger than Brian Burns, but he couldn't bend like him. But he can at least stop the rush. Greg Rousseau can't do that. And I think that even Montez Sweat had some moves to him. Greg Rousseau just goes faster than everyone. So I'm not a big fan of his. I also don't think he's very scheme diverse, which in today's game is super important. Not that he absolutely couldn't do this, but I didn't ever see him rush much from a stand-up position, and I never really saw him drop back in coverage. And so I think he's pretty – from what we know what he can do, I think he's a little limited to a 4-3 defensive end, which those type of players just aren't that important right now. Like, if you either need to be one of the best guys in the league or you need to be someone that can do multiple things. So my number five is a guy that is almost equal to Gregory Rousseau. Super close. Nearly tied. I almost flipped it. In fact, while you were talking, Colton, I almost flipped it. Like, this is – he's basically tied. I basically have four and four. I don't have any fives. Joe Tryon from Washington. I'm a big fan of his. He's a really good athlete. He hustles hard. Not the athlete that Rousseau is, but definitely a super superior athlete. Where he, in my opinion, definitely is way better than Rousseau is we have seen him stand up. We have seen him drop back in coverage. He can definitely make his presence felt in a 4-3. He's played with his hand in the dirt. And so I'm a big fan of his. He's one of those guys that can do a lot of things. He's a super athlete. He has the upside, but he's also more of a high floor type of guy. Also, you know, he's going to give you something. Colton, are you there? Colton. Hello, Colton. Calling out to Colton. Son of a gun.
All right. So, a little similar, but better as a 3-4, just kind of edge rusher guy. I have a kind of a similar prospect to you, but in my personal opinion, just a little bit better. Now, these names kill me because, you know, we have such a diverse culture in the NFL, and I have no idea how to correctly pronunciate this guy's name. So don't kill me on the pronunciation. Just listen. Azeez Ojulari, okay? Edge rusher out of Georgia. I definitely think he's going to be that 3-4 kind of outside linebacker. Sets the edge really great, and he's so fast. He's so quick, which is what I think will set him apart in the NFL. He's got a great first step, kind of, you know, not exactly like, but I guess a comparison just on how fast his first step would be like Von Miller coming out of Texas Tech. I mean, this guy is super fast. Does pretty well dropping back into coverage as well, but that potential for him as just a 3-4 outside edge rusher, the sky's the limit. He is so quick, definitely has some bend to him, and I'm excited to see how far he can go in the next at the next level in the NFL. Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He was definitely right there in the hunt. I like the one thing that makes me laugh about this is we hear the same dumb things every year in the stupid draft cycle. Every year it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's only 6'4". He can't play tackle. And we see the same thing here with I'm not even going to try to say it, but Azeez, maybe. I'll go with his first name. Possibly his first name, potentially. Azeez is, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that he doesn't have the length, which maybe when he gets to the NFL, we'll find out he doesn't. Let's let him fail, though. Like, he's a superior athlete. I love his motor. Love his motor. That's my favorite thing about him. He's a huge effort guy. I've heard a lot of people say that he's more of a 4-3 outside linebacker that rushes occasionally than a full-time 3-4 outside linebacker. I don't see that. I think he can do that. You know, I think he can do that, but I think he has the pop to play 3-4 outside linebacker. And I definitely think he's has the effort to account for any the effort and the athleticism to account for any lapses in length he has. So, yeah, I really like him.
All right.
Now it's time. Wait, is it my turn or your turn?
I think it's my turn to go first here. Number three, Christian Barmore, defensive lineman, Alabama. There's not a ton of, you know, amazing defensive tackles in this class, or what at least would be classified as a defensive tackle, but he's sure the cream of the crop when it comes to it. Strong. I mean, the guy's 6'5", 310, you know, definitely going to play probably, I don't know, probably three technique in the NFL. Strong. What more do I need to say about him? Guy's super strong, super talented. Led the way at Alabama. Created, I saw some crazy stat on him, like the amount of pressures that people generated against Ohio State was like against Justin Fields was something like 12 in the previous two games. And then he alone playing Ohio State had 12 pressures just in one game. Definitely very slippery for being big. Christian Barmore, excited to see him at the next level.
This is interesting, Colton, because where we were very similar in the offensive lineman, we are very different in the defensive lineman. maybe this is where I biased for what I like in the interior defensive lineman showing through a little bit. I don't hate Barmore, but to me, those type of guys, in my opinion, I just don't. They have a role in the NFL, so they have a high floor, if you want to call it. But I just think there's not a lot of them that are that impactful in today's game, in my opinion. I think it's more of the loose guys that can play multiple positions that are as athletes that are, you know, the more 290-pound guys. I think those are the guys that make more of an impact, that are the guys that are difference makers. And I think the Barmores are more of the guys that rotate in and stop the run on certain downs. Not that he can't rush the passer, but, you know, I could be wrong. I've not studied every single game. I don't know that I've ever seen him put a move on someone in pass rushing. It's always just the power. And he has power. Like, he definitely has the power to push people back and bull rush people. But I don't know. And so I'm going with a slightly different interior defensive lineman on my list. This is one of those names that is going to be a little bit difficult to pronounce, but I'll do my best. Levi Onwuzurike, possibly. Interior defensive lineman from Washington. He's 6'3", 290 pounds. More of a, great athlete. And one of the things that I've kind of, in my opinion, I've kind of went on is we have these guys that are great athletes for their size, but they're not athletic enough still to make a difference. Yes, when they get in the open field, they'll do what they do. You know, we've seen the Vita Vea run down a couple of these big guys. But Vita Vea still has a 5'1", 40. That's it might not be a 5'1". That seems wrong now that I said it out of my mouth. But whatever his 40 is, like, it's still not as fast as what a lot of these smaller guys do. And so the impact, I just don't think – yes, they're athletic for a big guy. But I, in my opinion, I just don't know how impactful it is. This guy can bring it. Super athletic. He can play multiple things. He's not just he can't just play three technique, where I think you're hit it perfectly. Barmore's a three technique all day. He can play five technique. I even seen a couple plays on him outside a little bit, not completely outside, but even on the outside a little bit. I like him a lot. I like his athleticism. I don't think he'll play outside the NFL, but I do think he can move around a lot, and I think his athleticism is going to make some mismatches for him.
All right. I don't agree with your view of Christian Barmore as a pass rusher, but I can respect the name that we cannot pronounce. Levi Onwuzurike. Okay. All right. Which leads me into my number two guy, who is kind of exactly like you said. He can play either 3-4 outside linebacker. He can play 4-3 defensive end. You know, a little bit smaller, but still is fast, versatile. Had some injury concerns early on in his college career, so didn't end up playing a whole ton till he transferred to Miami, and that's really where everything came together for him. It's Jalen Phillips. This guy is a beast. He's an edge, and like I said, he's very versatile. He can fit in either scheme. You know, you can plan around. You could even line him up inside and rush with him. You know, we're seeing a lot of that kind of more positionless, just edge rush, get to the quarterback type guys in the NFL. You know, we're seeing lots of people being moved around all over, and Jalen Phillips is going to be that guy. He's a Swiss Army knife pass rusher. He can fit in anywhere, any scheme. Very versatile, very effective. Jalen Phillips.
Yep, and I he's my number two also. I think this is my kind of – it shouldn't be this way because anyone who knows anything about football knows this is ridiculous. But from the fans that don't quite watch these guys or even look up numbers on these guys, I think that Jalen Phillips is what people think that Gregory Rousseau is.
Okay.
You know, I can see it. He's a really good athlete. He's a really, really high ceiling. If it hits, he's one of those crazy guys. You know, maybe not quite the physical freak that Rousseau is because of his size. But I mean, he is 258 pounds and so he definitely has some weight on him. You're like you said, he can put his hand in the dirt and play 4-3, although I don't think that's his best spot, and I don't think that's where he's living that way. I don't think it's the best way to use him, but he can do it. And so I think that that's what people think Gregory Rousseau is. They're really different because Jalen Phillips can drop back in coverage. He is a pure 3-4 guy, and Rousseau is a pure 4-3 guy. But from what I've heard about Rousseau, everyone talks about his athleticism and how he has this high ceiling. I think that Phillips is, if you're looking for a guy in this class to take a little bit of a swing for the fences on, I think it's Phillips. He has the tools to get there, and he has the physical. He has a little bit of that floor though with some of his traits. He does have some of those moves where Rousseau can run really fast.
Yeah, definitely agree. I disagree with you a little bit. I think he can be both a 3-4 outside linebacker and 4-3 DN. You know, he could very easily put on 5-10 pounds and just, you know, be fine there as a 4-3 defensive end. And I'm super excited to see what he does at the next level. But not nearly
real quick. I hate to steal your thunder, Colton, but I want to be clear. I do think he can be a 4-3 defensive end. I don't think that's his best spot. If you're going to say he's going to put his hand in the dirt and play right on the edge, I don't think that's his best spot because I think you're taking away some of what he does well in being able to cover, being draw back in coverage. And so I think he can do it, but well, I think he's best when he can stand up.
That's what makes him so good is you don't know, you know, they can put him at 4-3. They can put him at 3-4. They can rush him off the edge. You know, they can stunt him inside and have him just, you know, run out into the flats and guard the pass.
And that's really his best spot.
That's what makes him so good.
Yeah, exactly. I guess what I'm saying is if he went to a pure 4-3 team where they asked him to put his hand on the dirt every single play, I think you're taking away a lot of what he can do because I agree with you completely. He can do it all. And so the best teams are going to be the team that utilize all of it. But yeah, really there's not really any teams that really just run a complete traditional 4-3. So any team's going to be able to take advantage of what he can do.
Definitely. Super excited for him. But not as excited as I am for the number one defensive lineman in this year's class. You know, it's kind of weird this year because, you know, like in years past, there's definitely like a consensus top, you know, number one guy. And that guy is usually in the conversation for going number one overall, you know, like Jadeveon Clowney or Myles Garrett or, you know, Chase Young. Like just these insane insane edge defenders, athletes, you know, that can play anything and are just going to be one heck of a headache at the next level. And this year doesn't have a top guy that's the consensus like that, but the closest thing to it for me, and he's definitely a top 10 guy overall in the class, Kwity Paye, defensive lineman, Michigan. He finished out all 4 years at Michigan. He was a beast, some guy you definitely had to game plan for. He's not the fastest or the strongest or the biggest, but he has the highest motor that just never stops out of any of the defensive linemen in this year's class. There's been so many plays that, you know, he didn't necessarily make, but he's always involved in it. You know, he's got a nose for the football, as they say in football terms. He's always getting to the ball. And, you know, he might get stopped on his first move, but that's not going to stop him from getting to the quarterback. You know, he's got a complete arsenal of pass rushing moves, and I've seen him use so many of them to, you know, that I've seen so many times where it didn't work on his first move, and he pulled a different move, got past, got in the backfield, made an impact play. The guy's great against the run, setting the edge. I mean, this guy, he's awesome, and I'm super excited for him. He's a top 10 talent in this year's class. Definitely think he's going to fall a little bit just because of purely of the amount of quarterbacks that are going to go in the top 10 this year, but super excited for Kwity Paye.
Yeah. Yep. I hadn't completely watched him enough, and you kind of got me onto him. I knew who he was, but didn't really realize how good he was until you kind of, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you told me about, kind of got me onto him, and I went back and watched a little bit of tape when we decided we were going to do this. This guy is awesome. He's amazing. Like you said, the effort, I mean, there's nothing that's going to stop him. There's no one that's going to work harder than him. And you hear about, I don't know how much you know about his past, and I don't know a ton about it, but I know that he's an immigrant and he had to fight for his family a little bit and things like that, and had a little bit of a rough past. And you can see it in the way he plays football. Like, he just never – he plays like I know that people say this all the time, but he plays like literally every single play could be his last play. And he wants to prove everybody on this play why he belongs on the field. And I don't know. I might even think that he's a little bit of a better athlete than what you do from what it sounds like, because I do think he's a really good athlete. But yeah, the power, the effort, it's just insane. He's the best, not even close to the best. Best run stopping edge in the class, but I think his athleticism, obviously he's not Jalen Phillips and Gregory Rousseau, but I think he definitely is up there. And then the effort is just so much higher than everyone's. And I think he's a little bit more scheme diverse than what people give him credit for. I've heard a lot of people say, from what I've read, most people say he's a 4-3 defensive end, or maybe he could play 5 technique as a 3-4 defensive end. I don't know. And maybe this is just because I'm a Packer fan, and, you know, we have Za'Darius Smith, who's 270 pounds, and we have Preston Smith, who's 260 pounds, and we have Rashawn Gary, who's 277 pounds, all three playing out on the edge in a 3-4. I think he could get there. I think he could be it. Now, he's never going to be this elite drop-back guy, but I think he has the intangibles. I think he has the intelligence to play as a 3-4 defensive end and know what he can do, and then just try so much harder than everyone else to make up for maybe his small lapses in athleticism when he's playing out there in space. I don't know. I'm a big fan of his.
I have hardly ever seen, you know, a guy get in the backfield and just not even – he may not make the tackle all the time, but that just disrupts plays. I mean, he's constantly in the backfield disrupting plays. He's definitely the guy that he was – you know, Michigan's a guy that they game-planned against all year, and, you know, very few teams had an answer to his high motor. Definitely excited for Kwity Paye. And he has a name that you can pronounce, you know? I mean, that's another plus. I mean, you don't have to go out here and – you know, he's not going to have this whole problem in the NFL where everyone can't pronounce his name for a few years, you know. I mean, he's going to be a superstar from the beginning, and people are going to know how to say Kwity Paye.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And from most things, I think he's quickly becoming that consensus number one. People that don't watch things and don't follow it as close. They're never going to say him. They're always going to say Gregory Rousseau. But from what I've seen, to kind of diving into some research, most more respected draft places are starting to move him into that spot, even though, you know, he doesn't have the 18 sacks Rousseau had.
Yeah. Would not be surprised come draft day that he's the first defensive lineman taken.
No, I think he will be. And I think it's going to be to the Green Bay Packers somehow.
Oh, my gosh. At that point, I would just quit.
Dude, I genuinely, and this is, it's kind of weird because this was a guy I didn't like in college. He genuinely reminds me a little bit of Rashawn Gary. And I know maybe it's that Michigan tie a little bit, but, you know, they're both exceptional run stoppers that maybe didn't get quite the credit for their pass rushing ability. Rashawn Gary was similar to Kwity Paye in college. Going back and watching his tape, he was every single play in the backfield. He wasn't getting the sacks, but he was every single play in the backfield. He, obviously, maybe Rashawn Gary's more on the athlete side and Kwity Paye's more on the effort side. But, Rashawn Gary, I mean, that's what he's been in the NFL too. Like, he's played all over the flipping Packers defensive line. He's been an amazing run stopper. And then while he hasn't gotten 10 sacks yet, he had like a 20. I don't even know what the number is, so I shouldn't be throwing out numbers. But I want to say it was something. It was some crazy number of percentage of his pass rush snaps this year was a QB pressure. And I think Kwity Paye is going to be the same exact way. Every single play, he's going to be in the backfield. I don't know how much he's going to be cleaning up. I think he has more sack potential than what Rashawn Gary's shown so far. So I do think Kwity Paye could get that 10 sack year. But, man, dude, he is so good.
Yeah, definitely excited. So I take it Kwity Paye is your number one guy too? I mean, I don't think you ever said
yes,
that.
Yes, Kwity Paye is my number one guy. I don't know if I said that. But, yes, he is my number one guy. And he genuinely, like, I think there's some nice names in this class. There's some nice potential guys out there. Jalen Phillips is, you know, I don't hate Jalen Phillips at all. I do think there's some of those nice, like, maybe early mid day two, maybe not even early mid late day two guys that are worth taking a chance on. But really, the only guy that gets me just pumped up in this entire class is Kwity Paye. Like, he's the one guy that I'm just like, man, this guy's insane. Everyone else is like, okay, this guy could be. But Kwity Paye is.
There you go. That's why he's getting drafted by the Vikings. Him or Rashawn Slater, I don't know. If they're both there when the Vikings are on the clock, I'm going to be mad if they don't pick either one of them. That's probably what's going to happen.
They'll take a quarterback. And then you can know how I feel.
Oh, my God.
Or they'll take someone that you hate, actually, and then you'll know what I felt the year before.
Yeah. Ugh. Sweet. Well, anything else?
I think we just wrapped up our very first draft segment, and, you know, it's a little fitting that Thomas isn't here. I don't know why it's fitting, but, no, we do miss Thomas. Actually, Colton did not murder him. He's just at home with a migraine. So basically he's being a pansy because we know migraines, no one has ever once said that migraines actually hurt. And so
he was actually one of my honorable mentions for top five offensive linemen in this year's class.
Thomas Rasmussen.
Yeah. He was one of the honorable mentions, but you didn't let me get to it.
Yeah. The only problem is that he's just a little bit, he's kind of past his prime. He's like 20. What is he? 25 almost.
Yeah, but I mean, there's plenty. You're telling me there's plenty of people in the NFL that are 25 that.
No, he is, but is there plenty of rookies that are 25?
There's a couple. I think Hayden Hurst a couple of years ago was 24.
25. You got Brandon Weeden is 28. Yeah, 24. We got a couple that are 24. We got a couple BYU kids that are probably 24. I know Kyler Fackrell was 24. Not many. We got Taysom Hill and Brandon Weeden that were over 24, no, 25 and over that I can think of. Which is really just, you know, we're only a year younger than Thomas. It's insane that we're at this point where NFL rookies are all about to be severely younger than us.
Severely younger, like 3 years. Come on, three.
I mean, like, severely younger is in the fact that, like, everyone's younger than us. Like, it's just a little weird to say that we're getting to that point that here in probably 2 years, like, what, there might be one rookie a season that's older than us?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yep. Which just proves that, you know, now's our time to get into some of those, like, those random combines that
that you have to pay to get into.
What?
That you have to pay to get into.
Yeah, like Adam Thielen. The one that Adam Thielen went in.
Yeah.
Those are the things that we need to start going to, you know. I think the NFL is just looking for 5'5", 210-pound running backs that run a 5.7 40. Maybe. I don't know if I could run 5.7 40, but maybe between 5.7 to 6 second. I did test my vertical and we're at a solid 22, so I know that for a fact. I think the NFL is just looking for those guys.
Definitely.
I caught one pass in a game, so I'm a dual threat.
Yeah, I'm not even going to mention my <You're not> even... I'm done.
All right, should we end it?
Yeah, just end it.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.